What is the official name of the arthritis group?
So it's Team OA Alberta, so Team Osteoarthritis Alberta, and it involves a bulk of interdisciplinary researchers that were recruited from University of Calgary with an Edmonton arm at the University of Alberta. And again, it was the understanding that bringing together a group of experts to focus on a disease or condition of focus will greatly improve the outcomes and research that we can do together and the translation of that research to the population at hand.
What is your role with the team?
So I was recruited very early. The team was pulled together by a knee surgeon in Calgary, Dr. Cy Frank. And again, when the word got out that there was a focused research group developing to study osteoarthritis, and I'd finished my PhD and postdoc studying osteoarthritis, again, it seemed very logical for me to join the team and then to begin blending and extending my research to better meet the goals of the team. And so therefore, the team's divided into four separate focus groups, and I joined Team 2, which is better treatments and therapies for osteoarthritis. And the other teams focus on waiting time issues with osteoarthritis and hip replacements or knee replacements. So it focuses on a lot of the epidemiological issues as well. Other teams as well focus on novel diagnostics for osteoarthritis, and the final team focuses on rehabilitation therapy. However, for our team, it's about drug therapy. Currently, we do not have adequate disease-modifying drugs that are suitable for use with osteoarthritis. This patient population suffers from excruciating and debilitating pain for a long period of time, and the best we can offer them is pain control and pain management. The drugs we treat them with do not improve the state of the arthritic condition, so it doesn't replace the cartilage, doesn't tell the bone to settle down and to stop sending the inflammatory signals that exacerbate this cascade. So that's the type of focus we're on, better drug therapies. And we have both drug and non-drug therapies as part of the team. But clearly with the Faculty of Pharmacy and Pharm Sciences, I focus on drug therapies.
You said that when you joined the team, part of it was an effort to expand the research you were already doing. So what is that area of research?
So my postdoc looked at how cell metabolism or body metabolism has processes which require building blocks, and bone is no different. So our skeleton is formed during our early, you know, fetal life, and when we're born, we have a skeleton that grows into our adult mature form. So that's a process known as modeling, our skeletal modeling. But then we undergo a dynamic process called remodeling for the remainder of our life, where through daily activity, we may sort of fatigue or stress portions of our skeleton, which then requires some patching up or some replenishment over time. And this process of remodeling is key to that. Now, what's interesting is remodeling pulls in basic building blocks from the bloodstream in order to make this bone stronger and healthier again. And so therefore, a strategy of drug delivery is to actually model pharmaceutical agents that look like the building blocks for bone and are pulled in by the bone cells. And now that they've pulled in portions of these drug elements, those drugs can alter a disease process that might be occurring. So they can tell some of the bone-forming cells to stimulate them and put down a bit more bone material. They can tell the other types of cells that erode or remove bone to lay off and to slow down a little bit. So again, it's this drug targeting strategy which has become a hotbed of research and really where we've found a fair bit of benefit with some of our outcomes here.
What progress are you making?
The last 4 years with the team, basically we've developed a pipeline of compounds which use that principle of targeting to bone, targeting compounds to bone. And we've steered away from small chemical agents as drugs, and we're starting to use a novel arm of drug compounds known as biologics. So biologics are peptides and proteins, which are very common to our body, and they're considered a new generation drug, these biologics, because after they elicit their function, they're naturally degraded by the body into harmless byproducts of amino acids. And we all use and recycle amino acids daily in our muscle, bone, and other tissues. So likewise, having a novel biologic drug class, which doesn't rely on these small chemical agents that can cause harmful side effects after liver metabolism or kidney function, is a really novel and interesting way of approaching drug therapy for the future.
Now, I understand you've been working with something called calcitonin. What's that?
Calcitonin is a small peptide hormone which our body produces in the thyroid. Calcitonin is present in all of us and is a key regulator of bone metabolism, bone health, and calcium physiology. So again, you know, this is a small peptide compound, very similar to another one we're all familiar with, which is insulin. And again, insulin is a small peptide hormone which our body produces. It's the pancreas that produces insulin, and clearly it affects more glucose metabolism. However, conversely, we were interested in the ability for us to conjugate some chemistry to target small peptide hormones to bone surfaces effectively. So we began with peptide hormones, which we were very aware had an important role with bone turnover and health. So calcitonin was one of our first targets, and several of my graduate students managed to develop a strategy together with me that was effective at coating the surfaces of bone immediately after a dose. So this was a great achievement, because the problem with most drugs is that we take them either orally or subcutaneously or intranasally for calcitonin. It's a nasal squirt that you can take this compound, and it will go systemic, where the body will dilute that dose. And if the dose was not enough, you'll have to keep repeating the dose to build up that level of drug in the body until it's acting on the bone cells at a level where it's actually got some potency. And meanwhile, what we're in effect doing is poisoning our body with this drug until we get an effect at the site that we want. The ability to target compounds to surfaces means that you can use an effective dose which is greatly reduced. You get maximal effect out of that one dose, and you target it to the cells that need it most, and you avoid other cells in the body which really are not asking for it and don't require it. So you reduce side effects at the same time.
So is this something that works to reduce pain, or does it rebuild bone?
So the primary function for calcitonin is bone metabolism. So it actually tells bone to calm down and stop being reactive. So it'll quiesce bone turnover. And again, that's often important where you have conditions of excessive remodeling. So the osteoclast cells are activated in an inflammatory environment, and they begin to erode surfaces, or they begin the process that results in these bony growths known as osteophytes, which are often quite sensitive and painful at the peripheral margins of joints. So again, the beauty of calcitonin is that it's a natural way of telling these inflammatory triggered remodeling events to slow down or even stop, and then it will allow the body to recover over that period of time. So that's its primary function. However, we have become aware of a body of literature talking about the analgesic or pain-relieving effects of calcitonin at the same time. So we were excited by the fact that we may have a compound with dual functionality. Not only is it serving like a traditional drug we use for osteoarthritis, which is one just to relieve pain. However, at the same time, it might actually be influencing the disease progression. So it might be slowing the disease progression. And in fact, our preliminary results seem to support that.
So how do you produce it so that you can actually make a dosage out of it?
So that's a great question. The beauty of working with small peptide hormones is that they're very small in size. So for example, a normal protein would be thousands of amino acids linked together as this long polymer that folds up into a shape and interacts with other receptors and cells. The peptide hormones can easily be synthetically synthesized in a chemical procedure where, again, you just join each amino acid side by side as a building block. And this synthetic process can be scaled up so that, you know, a 32 amino acid peptide can quite readily and cleanly be scaled up for usage as a pharmaceutical. And again, the beauty is it's a peptide, so it'll be naturally degraded back to those building blocks once it's taken into the body.
What's the future for this? What stage are you at? Are you still at the basic research, or are you getting to the point where you're thinking about, gee, maybe we've got something we can commercialize or do a clinical trial with?
We did a fair bit of preclinical trials in laboratory-based assays and showing that we had efficacy in reducing the progression of osteoarthritis in cohorts of laboratory rats, actually, to make sure that there were no side effects that we weren't aware of. And they went quite well. So again, the next phase or the next stage really is to synthesize the compound, the bone targeting variant, in large enough quantity that and purity that it's FDA compliant or Health Canada compliant, and would be able to conduct a clinical trial. So we're beginning with, you know, the first time in human stage of developing that, but clearly we're going to have to recruit an industrial partner. And so in terms of industry, we're referring to large pharmaceutical manufacturers. Almost every large pharmaceutical manufacturer has a biologics division nowadays. They're very interested in antibodies as therapeutics. So, you know, people with rheumatoid arthritis or with osteoporosis are very aware of these monoclonal antibodies that they take as drug therapies to modulate their condition. And likewise, we think it's highly feasible and likely that a drug company with a biologics division and a research program in bone health see the value of a bone-targeting calcitonin. And as I mentioned, we've got a pipeline, so it's not just the calcitonin. We're also working on several other key hormones that are involved with bone turnover, so we can block excessive resorption, we can induce formation of bone. And so, you know, we have a wide range of targets here, and we just have to stay focused with our lead product, the calcitonin, to make sure that we see it all the way through to a clinical trial. And clinical trials are where you really recognize the benefit for society because you can tell very quickly whether or not you're meeting your study endpoints and, in fact, you're making an impact on the disease and an impact for the patient population in terms of cost-benefit for the healthcare system. So again, you know, we've got a lot of challenges ahead, but it's an exciting time.
With the commercialization aspect of things, do you have something going with Tech Edmonton here at the University of Alberta?
Look, absolutely. I think the climate for researchers has changed at universities, where, in fact, the university administration and the Canadian public in general expect more from researchers than simply pursuing knowledge. What they'd like to see is translation of that knowledge to, for example, for medical research to the patient population suffering those conditions. So they'd like to see extra value added from the research that we're doing. So very early, we were prepped at the Faculty of Pharmacy and Pharm Sciences about our commercialization arm with the university, Tech Edmonton. Again, it's the fact that when you make a discovery or something you think has value at the bench, don't just give it away in terms of intellectual property for free. Consider publishing that information as a patent initially. And with patent, you maintain the value of that intellectual property or IP. And therefore, you now have a bargaining chip when you go to talk to large pharmaceutical industries. And with that IP, that's often what they're after, the process, how to purify, how to scale it up, and evidence that they'll do due diligence evaluations of evidence of efficacy in what you say the compound will do. So again, we were fortunate with our bone-targeting calcitonin compound to get a patent filed on that in both the US and European markets, as well as the Canadian market. So we do have intellectual property secured on this compound, and this may prove very important down the road for Canadian patients with osteoarthritis, because clearly, being an Alberta-derived compound, there's a good chance that maybe we could deliver this. Our planned delivery is through transdermal microneedle patches, so you'd put your patch on for osteoarthritis therapy and take it off after an hour, and maybe once a week. And again, we could work out special rates with Alberta Health Services and Blue Cross and such the like, so that the Albertan public benefit from that investment in the research. We developed a spin-off company with the university to market burn-targeting peptide hormones such as our calcitonin lead. Our spin-off company is known as Osteometabolics. So again, the osteo portion, talking about the bone basis of our drug compounds, and metabolics implying the turnover. Again, these are a pipeline of bone-targeting compounds, and we have our head office here in Edmonton, where we run bone imaging services, which are preclinical. So we just accept samples from pharmaceutical industry and our own samples, and do bone mineral density and microcomputer tomography evaluations of connectivity. But OMX's key product, Osteometabolics OMX, basically is our bone targeting calcitonin. And we are currently in discussions with several large pharmaceutical partners, and very close to securing a co-development agreement. So looking forward to moving this closer to that clinical trial.
Thank you very much, Michael.
My pleasure.